At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, welcome to it. Welcome to it. Welcome to it. It is Old School here on 93.7 The Ticket and TicketFM.com. Austin and Jay with you for the next couple of hours. 402-464-5685 if you want to be a part of the show. Jay, you sent me a fantastic rundown. Lots of football news to get to. But I got to take the floor this first segment. The Indianapolis Colts have done it again. They've done it again. They made their choice. I am blessed with or plagued by starting quarterback Daniel Jones. It's official. The offseason signing will indeed be taking over as the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And let me just begin this conversation by saying congratulations to the Houston Texans for another AFC South divisional crown.
That's it? That's all you got to say?
I would like your opinion first, and then I will give mine.
Well, number one, you shouldn't be that surprised. Daniel Jones.
Oh, I'm not surprised. Daniel, I'm not even saying I'm disappointed. I'm just saying it's a fact.
Daniel Jones has done more with less. Now, granted, he was definitely overdrafted or got drafted way too high. But he's taken a team to the playoffs, whether you believe it or not. He has. He's played well at times. Now, he's played horrible at times as well. And then he's won a playoff game. So when you look at the Colts roster, and you look at Anthony Richardson, who's essentially still a rookie, I'd be more surprised if he doesn't start the season. Now, I saw some positives with Anthony Richardson against the Packers in their last game. But do you really feel comfortable with him starting off game one and then finishing at 17?
Nope.
I feel more comfortable with Daniel Jones, continue to up his stock as a stopgap starter. Really good backup, and you just never know. If they can really coach offense, and and devise a scheme to where you can keep Daniel Jones playing at to his strengths, and if everybody with the Colts learned their lesson from last year, essentially being happy to be there, some guys got paid, got a little lazy, but now they should be re-energized and refocused, they could be a problem. In that division. I'd never really thought Daniel Jones was as bad as people think he is. I think the problem with him is the way he looks. It is.
Okay.
Dude, you need to worry. I mean, straight up, he is, "Hi, I'm Daniel Jones. Can I take your library card?" You have some late fees.
Your account dipped 10% this month, but you know what? It's going to rebound 20 next month, so it's
him.
Okay.
That's him. Now, besides, if you take Lamar Jackson out of the quarterback pool, name me one quarterback that is faster than Daniel Jones.
I would assume that he's comparable to a Josh Allen or a Jalen Hurts. I'd assume they're in the same neighborhood.
If they ran
Pocket Hercules,
he's faster. Faster.
All right, Danny Dimes.
Pocket Hercules is the quickest. Josh Allen is the most dangerous. Jalen Hurts is probably the more powerful. Lamar Jackson's the fastest.
Yeah.
Now, I think Daniel Jones has more than an adequate arm, and now we're going to see what Steichen does as an offensive play caller, offensive guru. The hard thing for them is they said in the offseason that Richardson doesn't have to start in order to have a future with the Colts. They told on themselves. It was over then. Mm-hmm. They and it's no different with Joe Flacco. In Cleveland, they signed him to be the starter. He is going to be the starter because these coaches have to give everybody, they have to give the fans the perception or the reality that they're really going out there trying to win in the beginning of the season. Now, when if it starts to tank, it's going to be Anthony Richardson or bust, and there's going to be a lot of veterans going on injured reserve because they're not trying to be out there and be exposed.
It's going to be fascinating to watch and to witness because neither one of these guys do what I think is maybe the most important, you know, thing for a quarterback, and that's throw the ball well. Danny Dimes, 64% completion. He's at least got that going for him. But is he an accurate quarterback?
But what's your,
reports would say otherwise. But here's the thing, Jay. 34th out of 34.
What's your idea of an accurate quarterback?
The dude misses open receivers just as much as Anthony Richardson. There's some real bad misses. You and I have both seen them, right? Anthony Richardson has the record, the stigma for the lowest, you know, completion percentage by a qualified starter, and that is on him. Let's not pretend like Danny Dimes is putting the ball on time, on target every time.
Okay, who's their number one receiver?
Michael Pittman Jr.
No, for the New York Giants.
Malik Nabers.
Before that.
Exactly.
Then you just answer your question. Do you think the Colts have a better overall group of receivers and running backs and tight end than the Giants?
I would sure hope so. I would like
that's
to believe.
That's not what I asked.
I would like
that's
to believe.
That's not what I asked. This is you.
Jay, I don't know because they continually underperform.
Austin, here's your problem. You remind me of a lot of people that have all the answers but don't like answering the question. It's a yes or no question.
Jay, I don't know.
When you compare the Colts roster out on the edges, skill position guys, that's running back, tight end, receivers, to the Giants right now, or even last year.
As a whole, I will take the Colts. But I do think the Giants have the best player in that group in Nabers.
Okay.
I think Nabers is the top receiver. I think he's better than Pittman Jr., higher ceiling. Pittman is a
do you think
he's a two on a really good team.
Do you think he's better than Downs?
I really like Downs, Downs is a slot guy. I don't think he's best outside.
Who do you like? Do you like Wandell or Downs?
I like Downs.
Okay. So Pittman, compare Nabers and Pittman, is not that big of a stretch. The gap isn't that much. Now, tight end, do you like Warren or whoever, or Fedoni?
Is Fedoni going to be the starter for them?
Okay, Fedoni and company.
The Colts have had the worst tight end production, and Warren hasn't done it. I like Warren. I'm excited for it.
We're dealing in the present, Austin. Leave the past in the past.
Jay, it's the same guys, except for one new guy who hasn't played in the NFL yet. I like Tyler Warren. I'm excited for him.
And where was he picked?
14th.
You got to get this Jake Sorensen negative Nancy thought process out of how you view the Colts.
But why? They make it so easy to be negative.
That's the easiest thing in the world to do.
They are so
mean. You know what I told some kids? You know what the easiest thing in the world to do? You know the two easiest thing to do in sports?
What's the quit and...
No. That is not... That should be the hardest thing to do. Easiest thing to do is be negative and be lazy when you play sports. You can't be that when you're talking about your Colts if they're your team. You need to be happy because they actually are making a decision that's hopefully in the first six games of the season they're going to keep you interested.
I'm not mad at Daniel Jones starting. I'm not mad at Anthony Richardson to the bench. I'm just not inspired.
See, if you would have said, you know what, I'm really, really mad that the Colts didn't trade a third-round pick or fourth-round pick for Kirk Cousins, I'm with you. I'm with you there. But the fact that they got Daniel Jones and they named him the starter, I would say, you know what, it's probably a week or two too late.
Okay.
Because he needed to be named the starter from the very beginning. And then you're on the way. Because it's right for the picking. Now, I do understand Daniel Jones comes with some, I wouldn't even say baggage, but just like, unrealistic expectations, and then they sign him, and then part of the reason why they cut him is because Saquon went off. I mean, really, to be honest with you.
Well, would you rather take Saquon or Jonathan Taylor, like at this point in their careers? Probably Saquon. How far behind is Jonathan Taylor, I guess, should be the question.
A healthy Jonathan Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Taylor, before the Colts did the thing with the contract, there was not much separation. Jonathan Taylor, when that offensive line is rolling and you got Quentin Nelson rolling, he's like Bam Bam Bigelow. The dude is a nut job.
It's true. A nut job whose starting quarterback career looks like this. Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Philip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, Anthony Richardson, throw in Gardner Minshew and Joe Flacco in those as well. And now Daniel Jones. Has Quentin Nelson, Hall of Fame left guard, started the year in back-to-back years with the same starting quarterback. And that starter didn't last all year both times. It was Anthony Richardson.
He's went through everything. He's went through it all. I mean, I forget the center that played for Buffalo for a long time. He's number 70. I think it was Eric something. He had curly hair. That's the same thing. You come in with a decent quarterback, and then they just went through J.P. Lossman, Peterman, and everywhere, and then he got a little bit of Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're getting a little bit of Daniel Jones. Quentin Nelson got you went from the penthouse to the outhouse, and that's just the evolution of the NFL as it is. The quarterback position is the hardest position to hit on, but I think it's what the easiest position to be good at.
Which makes it even more stunning that the Colts just handed the starting job over to the guy that's 34th out of 34 qualified starting quarterbacks and expected points added per pass attempt. Their other option was out of 55 quarterbacks with at least 175 pass attempts over the last 2 years. Their other option was the guy that's 55th out of 55 in accuracy, 55th in completion rate, and 50th out of 55 in touchdown interception.
Okay, then I'll settle you down.
What kind of diarrhea did I want, Jay?
Hold on. No, it's not. So Anthony Richardson was moving up, and you liked Anthony Richardson coming out. We do have that on tape.
I liked him. I didn't love it.
But they drafted him.
They did.
Okay.
And we'll get to that.
Based off of Jalen Hurts and based off Steichen, mm-hmm. right?
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So you're the GM. Your boy, was it Ryan Grigsby?
Grigson. Ryan Grigson.
Same thing. He's just the same dude, right? He's the one that told on the Patriots. So he just on that, you don't have any street cred. Okay, so he drafts Anthony Richardson. So his job is on the line. He's tied to Anthony Richardson and Steichen, but more importantly, Anthony Richardson, because that pick will stay with him for right.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to make it right. So he has to give it time. But then on the flip side, you got Franklin. You got all these guys that are starting to get a little bit long in the tooth, and they're veterans, and you got Downs, you got Pittman, you got Warren, who was kind of like the safe pick, mm-hmm. right?
Well, they had to do it too. That's a guy you expect to step in from day one out of position.
And it's a less sexy position that you can, because he could have 38 catches and still be really good the rookie year because Pittman and Downs are going on and everybody, and Taylor's healthy, right? So he fits a need, but it's less drama filled with it. So if you expected him to trade up and then trade a really good player, to go number one to get the guy that they probably is like, we probably needed Cam Ward. That's professional suicide. So
I didn't expect that.
No, but that's why you see Daniel Jones coming in because yes, you're bringing in competition. Mm-hmm. Is he significantly better than Richardson? probably more you could sleep better at night with Daniel Jones week one. But then also you're not taking the confidence away from Richardson if they had brought in an Aaron Rodgers, if they brought in a Kirk Cousins and took over his contract. So there's a lot of that. I was talking to somebody about this when you get, you know, as soon as you get signed to a second or third, I was blessed enough to have a second or third contract. They're immediately thinking about how to get rid of you generally. Right? Well, that's where the Colts are with these two guys. They're like, oh, this dude ain't what we saw in Florida. No. You just did the Jamarcus Russell, fell in love with like two or three games. And then you started to lie to yourself. Here's the thing. You didn't learn the lesson from the Tennessee Titans with your boy Will Levis.
You did not learn.
The one of the things they said about Will Levis, they said, man, he was really good his the year before, but this year he regressed. But you know what his best quality is? He got hit a lot and took a lot of sacks, so we know he's tough enough. Shoulder blown out. Right now. He's doing the same thing we're doing, watching TV.
Two lanes of thought on that. First of all, is it over for Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis?
I don't think it's ever over for a quarterback.
That's why I said in Indianapolis.
I don't think it's ever over in Indianapolis. I think right now this decision was already made when they signed him. Daniel Jones just could not. As long as you don't fall on your face, you're going to start week one. Anthony Richardson can still be a starter in Indianapolis, but to get to the potential or to the, I guess, the heights that he wants to go is going to be somewhere else. This is Justin Fields over again.
What are the odds that this is his redshirt year coming in year three, essentially? And then, you know, he's making progress behind the scenes so that year four in the NFL job is officially his. Do you have any confidence that could happen?
It could, but he's got whatever's holding him back. Somebody's got to really, and he's got to accept the hard truth, and he has to work at this thing. This has got to be his number one priority besides his family. Mm-hmm. And that's questionable whether it is. You got to be in better shape. You got to be better mentally. You got to be better physically. And then also it's on Steichen too. You have to be, okay, you've seen this guy for 2 years. Mm-hmm. You've been in meetings with him for 2 years. And a little bit of time before that, before the draft process. So you should know how he thinks and what's the best thing for him. And then now, as long as he's willing to go down this path with him, you need to, and Anthony Richardson went out to Josh Allen's throwing coach, Tom House, and tried to reshape his delivery to mm-hmm. be a little bit better. And you better call up the Brian Daboll, my man Greg Roman, in how they changed their philosophy and how to get the best out of Josh Allen and Lamar mm-hmm. Jackson. And you better bring that down to Indianapolis.
Because Richardson is more Allen than Hurts.
Yeah, because Hurts is the son of a coach. Mm-hmm. And he was coached with Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So all the things that all the little deficiencies in the things that Richardson is missing in the huddle, in the locker room, that's what made Jalen Hurts a second round pick.
Right.
Probably should have been a first round pick. Leadership skills.
Winner tag.
Cool, calm, and collected. Probably sometimes too calm. Right? They were getting mad at him already. Too calm. The ability to still, you know, play your way through adversity, win some ugly games, have the confidence in yourself that, you know, they were saying he couldn't pass. Then they went out and threw for 300 yards or whatever. I hate to see Anthony Richardson, be in a situation like that. But then you know that he probably put himself there. You just wonder where your priority is because he has a ton of talent. But then also it's a great thing that, like, recruiting. The draft is no different than recruiting. It's a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. You could be from Louisiana or wherever these kids are from and look like a monster. And as soon as you see somebody across the line of scrimmage or other guys at your position that are monsters too, then all of a sudden you become like a little baby.
Well, it's the big fish in a small pond versus
never know. Yeah. Or because every level that you go up, it's more of a thinking game. And athletically, Anthony Richardson and you saw this is the coach's nightmare, the worst quality is their best quality and the worst quality. I can get the best out of him.
I can fix him.
Or I can make him, I can get him even better. Yeah. Here's the problem with that. Here's the biggest problem with that. The coach is willing to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Because that gets coaches excited. Because it's like almost like a blank, you know, you think you're Picasso and you got a blank canvas. It's got to be a relationship.
Well, the coach has to want to do it, which I'm willing to believe Steichen did. Sure. Because, Jay, that was his first draft pick head coach.
Right.
You know, with the experience that he had. So I'm willing to believe Steichen wanted to. Anthony Richardson, I'm sure, gave lip service to it and put in some of the work, but his eyes have been open to professionalism, right? So I don't want to say Anthony Richardson was pushing back or against it, but clearly there's a step he needed to take. But then we talked about this last year, and I think it's worth bringing up. Front office. I still believe the front office played a big role in Anthony Richardson's benching and demotion, right? The shoulder injury, the concussions the first year, that's injury. It happens. That's a rookie taking lumps. Last year, though, I don't think Shane Steichen gave up on Anthony Richardson before the front office did. Yeah, now, with some time to think about it, think about the locker room, probably hear from Pittman, from Downs, from Nelson, I'm sure from DeForest Buckner, probably Kenny Moore, even, you know, Rigo Sanchez, the punter. You know, those are leadership guys in Indy. I'm starting to wonder if, you know, they opened his eyes to, hey, we like the kid, but he's just a kid. And that goes to this point. Dan Orlovsky was pointing this out today. Anthony Richardson has like 1,700 reps since high school, 1,700 snaps. Bo Nix has 5,000. That's three times the number of reps for Bo Nix compared to Anthony Richardson. And this is where I want to ask you this question, Jane. We can't know for sure, but just kind of your gauge of the situation. Did Anthony Richardson come out at the right time to strike while the iron was hot? Did the Colts make the right decision by taking on a project? Should Anthony Richardson have gotten better advice and waited out another year in Florida? Because when we think about, you know, betting on yourself, it's, oh yeah, I think I can make it in the league. I'm going to jump. We think of it as a risk to stay in college. But for a guy like Anthony Richardson, betting on himself, I think, could have looked like, hey, I know I haven't played that much quarterback. I know I need more reps. I'm a lot of time and experience behind these guys in front of me. I'm still a project. I got to stay in college and get another year of those reps. Sure, it's a risk, but so is jumping to the NFL. Clearly, that hasn't worked out the way that he wanted it to, that the Colts wanted it to. So it's looking more and more in retrospect like Anthony Richardson either got bad advice or made the jump before he was ready and missed out on, you know, an extra 1,000-plus snaps that would have maybe had him better, you know, positioned as a rookie last year as opposed to a second-year guy last year.
Negative Ghost Rider. I love you also. Negative Ghost Rider. That pattern is full.
But you're getting better coaching, you'd think, in the NFL, playing with better players.
Negative Ghost Rider. That pattern is full, and here's why. You remember Cardale Jones?
I remember Cardale Jones.
You remember Cardale Jones listening to Urban Meyer?
I do not remember him listening to Urban Meyer.
And he came back. He was when he was at his peak now, he was Anthony Richardson, just not as fast. Cannon arm. First round, you started to hear Mel Kiper and Todd McShay. He should come out. He decided to come back. Went fourth round out the league. Even if he came, it'll say, okay, let's take the 1,000 reps.
So you're saying always get drafted.
Hold on. What pick did he go? Four. Okay. Oh, no, you ain't going to be able to replicate that. That's that iron or that fire wasn't just hot. That was El Fuego. It was flaming. Right? Here's why. Let's just say he goes back.
To year two, Billy Napier, by the way, that would have been the situation.
Okay. The situation. And then you had your boy Tupac, the white Tupac out there that got shot. Right? Was it Pearsall? Right?
Yep, Ricky Pearsall.
Okay, that's fine. That sounds good. It's 1,000 more reps. But just say they don't perform the same. And then the same weaknesses that you see, that people talk about at the league while you're getting paid, now they use against you and they can rewind it. And now you don't go number four. You go third round. But so hold on. So you lose out on all that money. Now, he's the same immature kid and same maturity kid that he'd be. Now, sure. Now, could they have done some stuff to make it be more mature? He's going to be the same immature kid as possible. Now, here's the difference between Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Anthony Richardson. You want to know the real big difference is? Josh Allen has who? Jim Kelly. Lamar Jackson has who? Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. Who does Anthony Richardson have? That you have two. Well, first of all, one legendary quarterback that was there for 16 years. I think he was there. And then Andrew Luck, who essentially was going to be the second coming or second kind of legendary quarterback, and the Colts screwed him over by releasing his retirement thing at halftime, and then he won't ever go back there again.
Well, no, here's the thing. So Peyton's in Denver, right? Still accessible to the organization, but not there necessarily. Andrew Luck was living in Indy for a while and then just took the Stanford job. Like, I'm sure as jilted as he was, he was still living in his same house down the street.
Right.
He was right there.
So you're making my point. So the organization didn't use their resources. So this doesn't matter whether it's a college or the pros. There's resources that will help present day players reach the peaks that they can possibly get to. That's a big part of it, because Peyton Manning will see the athletic ability and teach him how to be a professional, which will lead, hopefully allow his maturity rate go into warp speed. Peyton Manning can sit down with him. Now, you would probably, first of all, the Irsay family would have to mend some fences with Peyton. I think there's some static there.
Oh,
I think there's some, I think, because first of all, let me just say this before we go to break. Listen, don't get fooled by Peyton Manning. He can be an a-hole as a teammate. I've heard, and I have guys, I know one of my best friends play with him. Because he's there to win. Mm-hmm. He ain't trying to be your friend. Now, if you play good, then he's cool with you. But he's hyper-competitive. He did not want to go to Denver. He wanted to finish in Indy. He felt like he earned the right and opportunity to come back and finish and play with one team. That's a big deal to players like that. It's a big deal to Tom Brady. You see Barry Sanders able to go out like that. You see different guys, like, you know what I mean? They don't want to be like Joe Namath and be, you know, with the 49ers and all that. So there's some static there. And then also then you don't think Peyton Manning watch how, you ushered in Andrew Luck. You see how he did him, and now he's in Denver. So it falls on the Colts, like you said, in the front office, because you don't have the infrastructure around this guy in order for him to be successful. Now, he's got to be able to welcome that, because you do have Buckner. You got Franklin. You got Moore. You got you got dudes around you. You all jacking around. So now, if he doesn't make a run this time, he done. So that's why he comes out early. Because whoever advised him to come out early gave him the best advice. Because he ain't getting a second, third round contract. He get a second, third contract. He get on 1 year deal. You're going to come in and do RPO. Next thing you know, they're going to be thinking about moving you to tight end. You want to know why they're going to think about moving him to tight end?
Because they took a basketball player and moved him to tight end.
Because the one thing that he can do, he can run, he can catch, he can probably run some routes. You heard it here first. Because he is not, if he does not show the maturity to handle this right, if this has not got you ready, like, to go to hell or high water, Anthony Richardson, it's your franchise and they just gave it to a dude. Dude just came in.
A mercenary.
Right.
1 year deal. Who they gave it to? Over you.
Well, you didn't take it.
That part. I'm not so sure Daniel Jones won this job as much as he
just didn't mess it up.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if Anthony Richardson really lost the job. Right. I think you're right. He didn't go out and
it would have been easier for Anthony Richardson to win this job than Daniel Jones. They were waiting for Anthony Richardson
to win the dang job.
It would have been something that if he said, you know what, I'm not going back to Florida. I'm staying here from mini camp to training camp. We locked in.
Let me just say this, and then I know we got to get to break too. I get taking a quarterback when you think you have your quarterback whisperer head coach. It's so easy to say with hindsight being 2020.
Was he really the quarterback whisperer head coach?
Jay, that's why they hired him.
Because
they want Jay. I'm saying how the Colts viewed it. I'm not saying that he is or he was.
Right.
I'm saying it seems like the Colts viewed Shane Steichen as the quarterback whisperer. They wanted to get off the carousel because they had those two guys you talked about before. This is the Colts' first time going through quarterback purgatory in a long time, right? They're not comfortable with it. No NFL team is comfortable with it. Colts thought they could shortcut the line, you know, take the project, trust the guy that worked with Jalen Hurts, and clearly they miscalculated, right? They miscalculated on Anthony Richardson. They miscalculated on Shane Steichen. And I'm not saying either of those guys are screwed. I'm not saying get them out. I'm not saying they're over. But clearly it wasn't the right time. Something wasn't working. Maybe there's some magic left in the tank, but it leaves Colts fans like myself wondering, what if they had been able to resist the temptation of Anthony Richardson, that they had seen, you know, 1,500 reps, that they had seen, hey, our intel is telling us he's not the next Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts is a different dude than him, right? It's a different set of problems. We have a different, you know, organizational structure and setup than the Eagles do. We're not them. We have to play this, you know, a little smarter. You have to make a big move at quarterback. That's the cheat code in the NFL, right? Win with a quarterback on a rookie deal. To your point, the Colts should have more talent than I think they've showed in the last few years. Not like they've been atrocious, right? 9-8 in second place, and what, 8-9, I think, in second place behind Houston as well. That's not atrocious. But right now, you've also swung and missed a quarterback out of maybe it was a well-guided swing at trying to get it right at the biggest position, or it was arrogance, thinking you knew everything, you knew exactly how it was going to work out.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, we'll take a quick break, come back. I think sometimes when you try to play copycat, you get a dud. That's in coaching and player.
Yeah.
So we'll really dive into that, and then obviously we'll compare it to what the Chiefs did versus the Chicago Bears, versus the Ravens, versus the Bills. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, we'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back on Old School. Jay, you've got the rundown, so I suppose I should let you bring it in. But I'm throwing off my game by you putting me in my place about my Colts. But I can still tell you're not exactly quaking in your boots in fear.
My Texans are, who knows? I mean, I think that's the most interesting division.
Is there any chance Tennessee wins?
I would not be surprised.
8-9 games.
Yeah, there's a chance. You believe in your quarterback, anything can happen. They got a number one receiver.
Yeah.
And so you just never know. They got a good D-line. They got some dudes.
They do.
They're not. Everybody's. I mean, sure, Houston should be that odds-on favorite, but I don't know. I just think, you know, when you look at the Colts, I think when you talked about, here's what happens. I mean, as much as Anthony Richardson had the strike when the iron's hot, same with Shane Steichen. You got to go then. Both the coordinators, they both sold them two teams, the two easiest people to sell fool's gold, the Colts and the Cardinals. They believe this dude was the guy down there. What's his name?
Jonathan Gannon.
Gannon,
yeah,
was a defensive guru, mm-hmm. Right? Which I think the defense is good, but he didn't even know who Buda Baker was. All right, he didn't even know who their perennial All Pro safety. They didn't know mm-hmm. who he was. Excuse me. And then Steichen, you just ride that Jalen Hurts thing. You just
is that kind of short sighted though? Oh, I'm the quarterback guy. Oh, we got to get a quarterback. No. If you're not 100% sure that you can make it work with this guy, people would question your decision to pass on a quarterback when you know you need one. But it might, you know, kind of
there's guys that get
ironically be better for job security not to take a quarterback. That first year, take a late round project that's been working with, and then reassess your options the next year.
Why do you think that old buddy at Carolina want to get rid of Bryce Young? Why do you think he does? Because when you're a head coach or
you want your guy,
no, you have to draft a quarterback. You have unless you have a staff, you have to draft somebody.
That's why I'm saying take a mid round guy.
No,
and then reassess if you're not 100% sold on Anthony Richardson.
Austin, listen to what I'm saying.
They were not 100% sold.
Listen to what I'm saying. These NFL teams and decision makers, draft guys, they're not sold on. They have to go tell the owner, we're doing our job. And one of them is drafting a quarterback. It doesn't matter if he can play or not.
Okay, but if you're a good enough coach and you have the trust of ownership, I mean, clearly Chris Ballard has had Jim Irsay's year and has the year of the Irsay family, right? I mean, look at what Chris Ballard has done or not done for Indy. They've been mediocre, right? They still haven't gotten off the quarterback carousel. You know, I think Chris Ballard had enough sway with Jim Irsay to say, hey, Jim, I know we're trying to solve quarterback. I don't think this is the year to do it. It's going to be a tough sell to fans. We might get a little blowback hiring an offensive-minded coach to just work with Jalen Hurts. But if we're not 100% sold on our quarterback option, we'll take a mid-late round guy and reassess our options next year. I think Chris Ballard had that kind of cachet. I just don't know if he had the guts to do it.
Well, that's probably the best assessment. But who's that Ryan dude?
Ryan Grigson?
What's he do?
He gone.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the
yeah.
one that got Andrew Luck killed.
That's right. Yeah.
He's also the one that traded for Trent Richardson.
Ballard might have had the ear, but the owner wants a new quarterback. Ursay would have drafted a quarterback every year because he's running from the ghost from the devil of his past.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, man, I'm telling you that for the time that I was involved with Houston on that side.
Sorry. One thing, but maybe that would have been the right time though. 2023, because Ursay had just gotten so much flack for being rash and hiring Jeff Saturday from ESPN. That'd been the perfect time. Hey, Jim, you can preach patience. You can preach long run. You can preach build.
Austin.
Which maybe they tried to do with Anthony Richardson, Austin, and then didn't commit to it.
You gotta take your fandom out and put it over here. You just
answered. You just told me I was being a bad fan last segment. Now I'm wrong for being a fan?
No, you're being a fan right now. But you are a bad fan. You've been hanging out with Jake too much. That's your problem, because Jake is negative Nancy. Now just think about this. He just took flack for hiring Jeff Saturday over a couple bottles of cognac.
Yes.
And he lost the bet. Right?
Probably.
And it looked good the first time when they went out and beat the Raiders. And Jeff Saturday was like, no, right? He just took a ton of flack, became a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what did he do after that? Turn things over to Ballard. He hired a coach. Mm-hmm. And then you draft a quarterback. That's what you have to do, no matter who it is. And who was one of the hottest in the fastest rising prospects? When you listen to Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, both of them ain't never play. Both of them really don't know what they're talking about. I like Todd McShay, but you really up here, they were really up here telling you about the game that they got beat by Wisconsin, and he made a couple throws. This dude's going to be your franchise quarterback. You're trying to tell me this. Now, granted, the Colts had to draft him because then that creates positivity. But here's why you know that they haven't done their job. The same immaturity issues or only living on your athletic ability and you have a really strong arm were the same things that were going on in Florida. So that lets me know you did not do your homework.
Or you didn't care about your homework after you did.
Or you did your homework, but you said, you know what?
I can fix it.
Let's put $30 million in his pocket, 60% more free time, probably 70% more free time, and he's going to mature fast that way. That is the recipe for a disaster. And
it's a recipe for disaster, which is why you don't take the guy.
Right, but you have to. Because Austin,
just because it's been traditionally done that way doesn't mean you have to.
You are not, these guys in the NFL, I'm telling you, it's 8 to 10 teams are trying to win every year. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is Halloween 24/7, 365. I'm telling you.
I believe you.
I've been in there.
I believe
listening
you.
Listening to the GM, to Rick Smith in there, and he was telling me, so, dude, I was flabbergasted. He's like, watch this.
So am I giving Chris Ballard too much credit or not enough credit?
He's fine. You got to really judge him and see what he does next.
Am I giving Shane Steichen too much credit or not enough credit?
You got to give Shane Steichen enough credit that his agent decided, you know what, you need to leave Philly and you need to be right now. See, here's what people like when you think of Johnson, the Bears coach, and Aaron Glenn. See, they stayed in a season because they were down for the plan, and they were they had continuity from Spielman, essentially the owner Spielman. And then the head coach, Dan Campbell, they had job security no matter what was happening. They had talent. And what did he do? What did Johnson do? He developed Jared Goff to one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Aaron Glenn took a bunch of misfits, changed their identity, got some guys through the draft, Hutchinson, Campbell. They had Anzalone for a while before. I mean, he was been in and out of the lineup, but he's a stalwart, right? They were able to get Branch, right? Second-round pick who had first-round, essentially, talent and all that stuff.
Was it Kirby Joseph there?
Kirby Joseph. And then they had the other, the corner from Bama that they have now. And all those. And then they were able to make some hard decisions when they cut the cornerback from Ohio State. That's few and far between. Few and far between. Look at Philly after Gannon left. Look how many, they had the one defensive coordinator, I think, that worked under Gannon, right? And then they had Johnson, remember the OC. And then they had to really change the way they did it. And then they brought in Vic and the New Orleans coach right now. So, I mean, but then also look at Kansas City. Look at the continuity that they had in order to have Alex Smith and say, you know what, Patrick Mahomes, we know you cold-blooded, but just chill for a year. Look at the Patriots. Look at the continuity that they had. They know they had a defense. They know how they had a plan. They know they had an identity. Look at Lamar Jackson. The Ravens say, oh, you guys ain't going to pick him. We'll pick him. Then we'll figure out a way to make it work because this guy's going to be next level.
And that goes back to the root of my frustration. If you knew this guy was a project and he needed reps, he needed time, he needed to mature, the best way to do that is to play him. So name him the starter. Otherwise, if you're not 100% pot committed to that plan, that's how you end up with Daniel Jones, who I'm willing to give a chance, right? I hope the Colts go 17-0 in the Ravens.
The worst thing they did is not, they should have, if I was the Colts way back in the day, I would have never brought Carson Wentz in. You're trying to get him to be a winner and he
doesn't have that DNA.
Right. I would have tried to squeeze another year out of Phillip Rivers and or Matt Ryan.
I think Rivers especially.
Right. He
took him to playoffs.
Right.
He's one drive away from beating Buffalo in the wild card.
That puts you in a different position right now. Now you can't deal with that right now. Now it's just how you handle Anthony Richardson. Do you obviously right now? This should be, the communication has to be clear. He actually has to be like a separate coaching project during the season, which is going to be hard to do. You're going to have somebody essentially tied to him to hip because he's not like
a handler.
Yeah, he's not like Jamarcus Russell where, you know, he's out all the time. I don't think he's like a big partier. I just think he probably is on the video game all the time. I think that video game needs to become video. And you have to have somebody with him that he's going to have to be getting, you know, you're going to have to get out there and go through plays with him. And sure, you need all those scout team reps, but you're going to have to go through plays. You're going to have to have a VR. You're going to have to do some VR system or something, because I think he has enough in athletic ability and shown some flashes in that athletic ability that you play the long game with.
Well, you don't want to be the team that traded away the next dude, right? I mean, I've seen all these rumors on, you know, or mock trade saying Los Angeles Rams go get him. You don't want to let him walk and let Sean McVay, you know, turn him into something. That would hurt.
No, and I don't think he fits Sean McVay's system. You know, I think you don't want him to go. You don't want him to go for a year and learn under Andy Reid, and then he goes somewhere else, and then he's just putting in work. You don't want him to go somewhere where they just fit him in, and then he's just that, you know, they play to his strength. I think you could still do some things with him, but you saw it in Cleveland. I think they're trying to get him to play a type of quarterback position that doesn't fit his skill set.
Which is interesting because Steichen was supposed to be the guy to tailor that to his skill set. And I think he's done a fine job of that. I mean, the offense was not the same for Anthony Richardson as it was for Joe Flacco, as it was for Gardner Minshew. I think Steichen has actually been a pretty solid play caller, all things considered.
I just think that the decision was made to give the illusion or the reality that we're kind of come, we feel like we can win with less risk at the quarterback position. But I also think if I was them, I would still have a package for him, and it's not just RPO. Because he's shown against the Packers he could do something. Now, granted, I don't know if it's the starters or not, but the Packers have depth on the first and second unit. So he's shown an ability to do something. And
even in real honest to God NFL games as well.
Right.
The drive against the Patriots, the throw against Houston, right? The 65 yarder. You know, like, we're not doubting the tools.
Right.
There's a lot in that toolkit.
But then also, you know, Shane Steichen's on the hot seat too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also goes into the decision. Your back's, if he's in 2 year, if his last year, it doesn't get to this point. If the Anthony Richardson, who has shown some improvement, is on the team last year, you don't get to this point. I always said this, man. I was talking to somebody. Like, decisions are made has really, the last thing that really matters is what happens on the field.
Indeed.
So when everybody says, I want to just compete, you just got to need to go play hard, because the decision ain't going to have nothing to do with what happened on the field. It's not, man. It's the last thing.
Dang.
Unless you really just doing outstanding, and then they don't have a choice. But if it comes down to where they got a choice, there's about four boxes they're trying to check before they get down there and see what you do. So anyways, we're going to come back. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Quick segment, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Then we get one more hour. Old school. We solved all the problems. I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy, Austin. It's I didn't even realize Iowa State and Kansas State play Saturday, 11 o'clock.
It's here, Jay.
Yeah.
It's already here.
Yeah, here. What's today, Tuesday?
Today's Tuesday.
Essentially, a week from now, hey, we'll be in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
2 days away from Huskers kicking off and hopefully kicking butt against Cincinnati. So.
Do they leave Wednesday to get down there?
Or
do they go down Thursday?
No, I'm sure they go down Wednesday. I'm just assuming. I don't have no idea, but just because it's a night game, I think you might be able to maybe leave a little bit later in the afternoon. I don't know if you drive. I have no idea, but sure, you get down there and, you know, my experience with a night game, or in this case, a West Coast game, you know, you'll get up, you'll have film, you'll have meetings, and, you know, the same meetings. They got it all spaced out, you know, where you can go meet here and there and defense. You go over a game plan, probably get up and move around a little bit, maybe stretch a little bit. Then you come back and kind of think it's been so long. Maybe another meeting, depending on the time of the game and if you're out on the West Coast or not. And then you go up, potentially get your stuff, get on the bus and get over there. I mean, you got to think, if the game kicks off at 8, you know, you're probably getting there no later than 5:30, 6 at the latest.
Yeah.
It's, you know, because, you know, it's time to kick off and kick. You know what? I mean, you got to think these locker rooms are probably a little bit smaller, right? Especially if you're playing on the road.
So does Nebraska limit to a 70-player roster for a road game, and Cincinnati can bring as many as it wants for a home game?
I don't know. That'd be,
because it's not a true neutral. It's a neutral site, but it's still, I think, a Cincinnati home game.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. So you got to ask Steve Sipple and Sean Callahan. They probably know.
Well, I ask the expert.
I do not know.
Okay.
I would assume if I was Cincinnati, if this was me, I would want it to be that they can't bring all their whole team.
Oh, right.
Number one, for the sheer fact that Nebraska's going to run out with 120 guys, and I'm sure Cincinnati might maybe has 100. I'd like it to be that they, because that you might not be able to bring a special teams guy or a third team safety or whatever. But I don't know the rules. But that's what I would do. I would petition for that. And then I would make Nebraska wear a uniform that ain't like. It goes, all that goes into it, man.
Make Nebraska wear their home reds for a road game.
Well, it's hot, so maybe that, but I don't know. I think a part of the games when you play this is the gamemanship. It's the mind game. Now, obviously, the most important thing is you got to go out and play well. So, you know, for both teams, you know, you got a week until you have a game, and that includes. I think sometimes when people say, okay, why do you think they got a week? Well, once you get past Thursday, or, well, against 2 days before, 2 days before the game, well, at least in my experience, it's just a matter of time. It's just a countdown to chaos. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but then in that week, so essentially from Wednesday, essentially, right, you know, as far as football goes, you know, there's probably a day or two off. Because you can't practice every single day. So then now you're going from 6 days down to 4. So essentially, you got 4 practices.
That's not many.
It's on. That's not a lot of practices. And maybe not all of them are padded. So if you ever, you know, and the first game is always the hardest to get ready for. Because, you know, I think in the second hour, we'll see Coach Butler, he talked about tackling. That's always an emphasis because you can't go live. You never can simulate. You can simulate it. But then, you know, I always tried to think like, all right, I would rather a coach tell me to tune it down versus tune it up. And, you know, tackling is one of those things when you probably know that you're the better team, is you don't want to give them any confidence. And you never, I'm going to tell you this, you never tackle as well as good as you want. you always, you know, in the first game is probably, we've seen this, right? Where you have the most missed tackles.
Which is only natural.
Or you tackle really well the first game, and then you have some missed tackles second game. Third game, you're in your rhythm. But I think to offset that, you play with tremendous amount of effort, energy, and physicality. Because there's nothing better than Austin missing the tackle, Jay Foreman, DP, Jason Peter, and Grant, or whatever, and we just bum rush them out of it. Then people don't talk about that. Where you really miss tackles, and I'll get off right now, is that when you don't have the discipline, who sets the edge, alley filler, cut back, or whatever you have.
You miss tackles when you put yourself in a compromised position.
Or somebody else does.
So, Gary.
Gary Walker. I love Gary Walker. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send him the text. Hey, man, you remember we played the Colts, man, and you forgot to set the edge and pull Peyton Manning up? You messed up my two-sack game. Anyways, we'll take a quick break. We'll get some audio. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.